Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining me here today are Michelle Keith and Reem Papageorgiou, the co-founders of MomUp, a mission-based recruitment firm that is bringing humanity back into hiring. MomUp partners with organizations that recognize and value the contribution of working parents and connect these employers with their incredible network of talent, working with their customers to build a better and more inclusive workplace. Michelle and Reem, thank you so much for joining me here today. As a MomUp fan, I'm super excited to have you both here and would love if you could share with our audience what you do at MomUp and what led you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Reem, do you want to kick it off?
Sure. So we are super excited to be here. So MomUp has kind of these three different arms, if you will. We are a mission-driven recruiting firm that is really working toward advancing women in the workplace. And so we work with women throughout their career life cycle, if you will, really getting them to where they want to be at, but also addressing issues of gender equity and diversity in the workplace and making sure that they have a seat at that leadership table. So we work with companies in helping them hire women and, you know, address issues of diversity in their hiring. We work with candidates. That's kind of our second arm, if you will, really to help them find those roles that they're looking for, as well as support them with coaching services if they need to kind of figure out what's next or address resume issues. And then we have a third arm, which is our advocacy arm, more locally within the state of Massachusetts, really addressing issues of pay equity, issues around childcare, anything that really affects women in the workplace.
Love it. And with both of you coming together to form MomUp, I'd love to hear about the backgrounds that each of you had individually before joining forces to build MomUp.
Excellent. I can take that one first, Reem. For me, my background was really in starting businesses and entrepreneurialism and really wanting to get back into that. And I wanted to find a new opportunity or create a new opportunity that had a mission to it and partner with somebody who also shared that same passion for the mission. And so my background is not in recruitment. It's really in starting companies. And when I was working, helping out my husband with his startup and doing some hiring for him, realized that there was some real, you know, flaws in how we recruit and how we hire. And there were, you know, had to be a better way to find great candidates. And then in talking to Reem, realizing how many women in our community were not getting seen and not getting opportunities that they deserved, especially in these mid to senior level roles. And, you know, whether they had a gap on their resume or not, but just making sure that they had the same access. And so making sure that we could be that conduit, these great opportunities and these great organizations.
Yeah, I think we bring really kind of unique backgrounds, which hopefully, you know, anyone listening to this realizes you can always keep going and there's always something next. I think that I'm probably pretty representative of someone who changed my career multiple times. I started out as a clinical social worker, working in hospitals, ICU settings with families, and then moved into public health and outreach and education. And then from there, went into training and development and worked with companies addressing issues, everything from like stress management and whatnot to dealing with difficult people and leadership skills and whatnot. And then really kind of partnered with Michelle because we saw there was just so much untapped talent around us and felt like there's got to be something to harness not only this talent and bring it into the workforce, but also make sure women are continuing to advance, you know, even with the kind of pauses in life of raising kids.
And one of the things that I think is really admirable about your experiences is that You both did something different. It wasn't recruiting. Besides Michelle, you helping your husband with his startup, being able to hire team members, but being able to go into something new. What was that process like in terms of just learning what it's like to build a recruiting firm and then being able to not only do it right, but also exceed? You've been able to do so much in the past few years of having it. And it's been just being able to be a part of so many different things has been huge.
Can I go first? Sorry to take over there, Michelle.
No, I love it.
It's about you. It's about having a partner that kind of just hold each other's hand and you're like, let's go. And we have a lot of fun. We also say that we're always open. And amidst all the fun, like we support each other and really just, okay, let's try this. And you know what? When it doesn't work, we're always learning. And also just feeding off of each other's energy and creativity. I think it's really having that openness. So, all right, I had to give a shout out to Michelle there.
I love that. I think it's both of us working together. I think one of our, and Reem always says this, our superpower is people. And I mean, that's the thing with recruitment. It's a people-driven business. And, you know, I think that in our attempt to simplify and streamline, you know, our world, we've taken what is really the most human process, which is hiring someone from your company. And we've tried to automate it and it's not going well. Like we need people in this process. It is a very hands-on and we're very, I would say, bespoke in how we work with our clients and really wanting to understand their culture and their company and understand their candidates. And I feel like that's where we come in. That is the key quality is understanding people, being able to read them, being able to ask the right questions to know that they're going to be the right fit. Anybody can read a resume, but can you really understand the person that's on the other end of that Zoom call is the key component. And then I think that kind of that the fearlessness of saying, let's do this, let's try to solve this problem and figure it out as we go is then what led us. We're not boxed into certain ideology because we're just like, we're a blank slate. Let's learn it. Let's bring in the right people. I think we're both open to learning. And I think that's hugely important and knowing who the experts are to talk to when we need them. And I think that's a big part. I think it's always being open-minded about asking questions and being vulnerable to saying, it's okay not to know how to do this, but who do I ask? Who's the right person? And I think that's how you grow a successful company.
Yeah, I agree. And would you say that you two have like complementary skills as in, Michelle, you might specialize in one thing and Reem, you might be really wonderful in another and coming together. That's what has helped to build Mom Up is just the complementary experience and backgrounds.
Reem, you take this.
Oh, so you take it. I think we can really... You know, we joke that we're kind of sharing a brain because we kind of can get to the same place, but we sometimes get there in a different way. And I mean, Michelle's entrepreneurial background, I have none of. So there are other areas where, you know, we are bringing something new to each other.
Yeah, I think the important stuff, like the way we function and communicate is pretty similar. In terms of like, we both love systems. We both, you know, like those types of fundamental things are really important. But yes, we definitely sort of, I think, have different perspectives on the world. And that way we can kind of come together and then share, like, this is how I see the situation. This is how I see this situation. And then we can come to sort of strategies that way.
And I think Michelle, like your business sense, you know, to kind of lead the charge. And then I'm bringing in kind of this other advocacy training coaching side things from my background. So it complements, but then it's nice when we also just easily align on so much.
And we can sort of use that to diversify what Mom Up's doing. Like Reem leading the charge on the advocacy is such a, like that's such a passion of yours. And I feel like you're in that space so much that it's been amazing to have that because I think that also makes us unique to have, you know, to focus on that area. So it's not just, you know, it's finding these great roles, but then it's, let's also improve the workplace at the same time.
Especially because the advocacy work that you're doing relates to women getting careers, because if they don't have childcare, then they might not be able to get the career they want. And if there's the wage gap, then it affects that too, as well, with positions they're applying for. So I think that just complements it so well with the fact that the advocacy work just ties in with what you're doing to help companies and help candidates.
Totally. You got it.
And what would you say has been like something that you've really enjoyed about being a co-founder in terms of things you might recommend to people? Because some people say, don't start a business with your friend, like keep friends and business completely separate. But obviously from what I've been able to see throughout the past year of Mom Up, and even just what's so obvious online as well, is that it works really well for Mom Up. So what would you recommend to anyone who is looking to start a business and is thinking about bringing on a co-founder to support them?
Well, I'll start about the value of having a co-founder. But my first business I did alone, and it's lonely. Like you know, when you have a business, it can be a lonely place. And even if you have some people working for you, it's different than having a co-founder. And I think it's really nice to be able to bounce ideas off of somebody who's in the thick of it with you, as opposed to, you know, you can't always, you know, maybe share some of that with an employee versus a co-founder. So I think having a partner alleviates some of that, you know, alleviates that loneliness and alleviates the pressure of having to make every decision, and having someone who understands the ins and outs of the business, especially because it's from the beginning. So you're not having to communicate, well, here's what's happened the last, you know, 2 years or whatever. This is why we got, you know, we're at this place now. Someone who just sort of instinctively understands everything about what you've gone through, what you're going through together. And then the friendship one is always a critical component, because friendship first, that's really the key. And so we've had to have hard conversations. We've had to learn how to communicate differently. You know, we have our friend hat and our business hat, and we change it. Reem's really good about, okay, we've talked about Mom Up. Now let's talk about friendship. Let's talk about what we did over the weekend, you know, yeah. and making sure that we don't get so myopic about, oh, this is what we're doing. And, you know, let's only talk about Mom Up, but making sure mm-hmm. that we foster both aspects of our relationship. Yeah. What do you say to that? How do you answer that, Reem?
No, thank you. I forgot that a while ago I said we need to make sure we carve out friend time. You just reminded me of that. And then you said it the other day. I'm trying to think what I would say, and I think this isn't something you can necessarily plan for. I mean, we're very lucky, and we are able to communicate, and when it's hard to communicate, we're able to communicate that it's hard to communicate. Mm-hmm. We're able to say this is a hard one, and then we're able to come out and say, hey, we did pretty well. That was a tough one. And you're starting a business, there's going to be those challenges. The other kind of blessing that we've had is, and I go back to laughter, we laugh a lot. I think we give each other the space to be creative. There isn't this kind of competitive drive of like, well, I'm going to be the one or you're going to be the one. It's just kind of like, we're in it together and let's spread your wings and fly. And that's what we want for our candidates. So I think hopefully that's trickling down to our candidates too.
Well said.
I love that. And what would you two say your roles consist of? Like, Michelle, what's really your focus and drive for Mom Up? And Reem, what's really your kind of day-to-day responsibilities?
Reem, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah. So it's such a good question, because it's constantly changing because we're small. So we're nimble, which I love. And it gives us not only flexibility within Mom Up as a team, but also as we work with companies to be able to be creative and coming up with systems that work with them as a client. So we both wear all hats, but there are some kind of other delineations, if you will. So I head up a lot of the talent side of things, really kind of putting together how our candidates are vetted, how we're communicating with our candidates, how we're sourcing them if they're not in our network. Also, I do a lot, we're building out, we have a coaching program, we're building that out to be larger, as well as workshops and future kind of online trainings, if you will. I don't know, did I get it all? Those are kind of the, and then the advocacy.
And the advocacy,
That's kind of my world. I think I got it.
Yeah.
And then I do business. I do a lot of business development too. It's just hard because we're so in it. I don't always sit and
I think like Tareem's point is because, especially because really up until a year or so ago, it really was the two of us working. So there was a lot of like, you know, okay, you're going to talk to this company. I'll talk to this candidate, or, you know, we oftentimes kind of worked, you know, with both candidates and the company side of things, each individually. And then, you know, as we brought in other people, we've kind of been able to, I guess, differentiate our roles a little bit more as we've gone forward. I like Reem said, I do a lot of the sales ends of things. But when needed, you know, I'll jump on the phone with candidates. And I mean, because there's always a need for extra sets of hands in various moments, and the operational side of things. So I'm definitely a jack of all trades. So, you know, when it comes to like setting up the systems, the financial end, payroll, website management, things like that, HubSpot, I'll take on that. And then we're slowly kind of outsourcing those aspects too. So it's great because as we grow, those smaller things kind of get off the table onto an expert, and then we can focus our attention on growing the company, which is exciting that we're getting, you know, more and more we're getting to that place where, you know, less administrative duties and then more of the big picture. But it's all amazing. Hands on deck.
I know, the life of a founder.
Yeah, you know firsthand.
And with being a recruitment firm, like you have a huge network. I almost look at it as a three different buckets, maybe even four. Network of companies, network of candidates, network of like-minded professionals who are collaborating with you on those different workshops. And then the fourth one being the organizations that you're supporting through advocacy work. So how have you been able to not only build such a big network, but also maintain those relationships? That's one thing that I feel like I'm not so good at, is being able to meet new people, but then also staying in touch with them and being able to mutually benefit one another when the time is right.
Oh my gosh, such a good question, because I think that is a huge challenge because there are so many people, and it's, you know, sometimes I'll say, Reem and I will joke, we'll say it would be a lot easier to sell t-shirts, but, you know, but because we have so many different individuals with different needs and a different relationship, you know, with all of them, like it's not all, you know, client and, you know, or it's not all candidate. It's you're trying to nurture all of these different facets of all these different relationships, and these different individuals. And so I think that, you know, we've tried all sorts of different things. We use HubSpot. It's an amazing tool that we love for nurturing those relationships, and, you know, offering workshops, I feel like really keeps the individuals that maybe are currently actively seeking work, or maybe they're just looking for some support. It's a great way to stay connected with them. What else, Reem? How else do you say we nurture these relationships?
Yeah, I think as we're kind of coming back into in-person world, we've been able to now kind of attend events that some of our partners are hosting and meet in person. And even, I mean, I was saying to Michelle that I'm meeting a candidate that I worked with 2 years ago, maybe, for coffee, mm-hmm. and we've never met in person, but we're going to meet and get together, and she's a superstar. And I'm just like, okay, how can we nurture that and nurture each other? And I think that's the beauty of really remembering it goes both ways. So what can we offer them as well? And how can we be a support in their life as well? So I think it's going to continue, but it's very hard.
Yeah. And especially I like what you mentioned about now that things are in person, it makes it really wonderful to take those online relationships that have been happening throughout the past few years and then just see someone face to face and continue to develop that further.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And a lot of what Mom Up focuses on is flexible work options, as well as inclusivity and diversity in the workplace. So with that being such a core mission drive that Mom Up has, why would you say those are so important for employers to incorporate in their hiring process?
I mean, do you have 5 hours?
Well, I'm going to start with the flexibility thing, because I think that's such an interesting topic, because the definition of flexibility has changed dramatically since we started Mom Up. So to jump back to 2019, when we first started Mom Up, our intention was to really focus on that part-time flexible, if you're listening, I'm putting, you know, air quotes, work, which, you know, usually meant 10, 15, 20 hours a week. And that is how we started. And that was that initial core model. When COVID happened and there was a lot less hiring, that's when we actually started focusing a little bit more on our coaching and our workshops. And as we came out of COVID, what we noticed was that not only did flexibility change in so many ways, where that meant, you know, maybe it's remote, maybe it's hybrid, maybe it's flex time. There was a lot, it was such an explosive cultural change in the workplace that we're still trying to navigate and set up. But we noticed that a lot of the candidates in our network, it changed for them and what they were looking for. We still have candidates that look for jobs that are 10, 15 hours a week, but we also have candidates that have now decided that they want full-time work. And I think that's an amazing thing, because I think for years, women in particular, mothers in particular, I should say, were sacrificing full-time salary, retirement, benefits, because they were looking for that flexibility that wasn't getting offered to them. And now we realize, oh, this is something that we can do in the workplace. We can work from home. We can, you know, people can clock in and out at certain times of the day. It doesn't have to be, you're not tethered to a chair, you know, 8 to 6. And so we started to pivot and offer more of that permanent full-time work. So we still do some of that part-time opportunities, but we focus a lot on working on full-time because we feel like it's so critical to bring more opportunities with great companies to the women in our network. I think we're at this amazing, like, cultural pivotal moment in our time, that although things are very messy right now and companies are struggling to figure out how they want to navigate, you know, going forward. But I think that what we're going to see is a lot more mothers being able to stay in the workforce instead of kind of getting pushed out because we had this very rigid work structure. So that's going to be an amazing thing. And then because of that, it's going to just have this waterfall, you know, positive consequence of more women staying in, more women leadership. Therefore, you know, all these opportunities change, childcare opportunities will change. All of this is going to change, I believe, our country for the better. It's going to be much more inclusive. What do you think, Reem? Sorry, that was long-winded. I don't even know if I answered.
No, I love that. That was a really great perspective.
I'm like, we need 5 hours. I think also, you know, that from the company perspective, and this, the light, if you will, was really shined during the pandemic, that the company's coming out on top managing this initial part of the pandemic. I feel like we're still in it. Were those that were leading with empathy and those that were really slowing down to get it. And, you know, who better to do that but women, to be honest, I mean, there are plenty of men who have empathy, but really, and so taking that as mom up and saying, look at this network, and not all, we should clarify for your listeners, not all the women in our network are moms. And we don't discriminate. We do have a few men in our network as well, but really using mom up as that kind of catalyst for change. Here's this super talented network. What are you doing in your company? Here are some amazing leaders that really come in with a natural talent also to help you as a company come out on top. And, you know, there's so much data out there, even companies that are more diverse have, you know, better ROI. I mean, we could go on and on for hours about it, but I love, especially given your podcast, you know, that our state now has 3 women at the top. And there's so many firsts with that, but really to pay attention and look to that. And I think that's kind of how we also try to address it. So now I'm rambling.
I love both of those responses. And especially, like you said, Michelle, with flexible work, all these different options that are available. I had read a survey or a study, I think it was about 2 days ago. I forget where it came from and what the exact number was, but it was like a significant amount of people whose companies have adopted the 4-day work week would never go back to a 5-day work week unless they had a significant pay increase. And I think it's really interesting, like both of you said, just the past few years, seeing all the shifts that have been happening and how it doesn't really matter as an employee how many hours you clock during the week. What really matters is the output. And if you can do an outstanding amount of work in 20 hours compared to 40, there's no problem with that because you're doing your work. You're just not taking all of the time that's allotted.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that, go ahead.
You go.
Oh, I was going to say that, you know, what we've seen so much of is the importance of, it ties into wellness as well, that, you know, a happy employee is a good employee and your company is only as good as your employees. You know, and that's where most of the company's money is going towards paying employees, and you want to invest in those people. You want them to stay. That's a relationship you want to nurture. It's expensive to hire and it's time consuming and it's long. So keep your employees happy. What do they need? And I think what we're also, it's interesting because we have 4 different generations working simultaneously. And I think that, and it's not just 4 generations, it's 4 generations that grew up in vastly different situations, you know, especially from the perspective of technology. And I think, so you have the leadership, which is on its way, you know, out towards retirement, is still the decision makers and is still trying to understand this sort of new world. And then you have the younger generation that's making these demands that's like, no, I grew up in a, you know, a lot of these people that are coming to the workforce came in during COVID. So they started their careers remotely and they're going to expect that they have that flexibility. And so we're going to see it even more. So the companies that really are willing to adapt and evolve are the ones that, as Reem said, will come out on top and they're going to get the best talent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was just going to add that, I know to Ashley what you were saying earlier about if you can get it done in 20, you know, that whole piece, because, and this is going to sound kind of silly, if you will, but I will never forget, and you might have heard me say this before, like the first role I had after many roles where I didn't have to ask, could I go to the doctor? Like, could I leave the office that day? And when I just got to do it and then come back, the confidence when I could manage my own time and someone trusted me, and that trust made me want to work harder, made me more loyal to the company. That's such a simple example back in the day. But now really when you hire the right people, they will do the work. They want to do the work. They want to do good work. And so really trusting that and making sure they're set up and content will set you all up for success.
Absolutely. And I think flexibility also provides accessibility too, because a Another untapped group of talent is people with disabilities who might not be able to physically make it into an office 5 days mm-hmm. a week. And so I think it's wonderful to just have equitable workforce and open positions that can accommodate all people of all abilities.
Yeah, I love that.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you just hear about things like people are subject to less microaggressions, things like small things that we certainly weren't aware of or recognizing until you change things up. And how do you learn? How do you evolve? You are thrust into situations like the pandemic that force you to sort of evaluate what is working and what's not working and how can we make this better? And it's always good to pause and reflect on that because there's always room for improvement and we should all drive to improve, mm-hmm. Especially, companies where you're dealing with people and it's a lot of responsibility. But you want to make sure that your employees are happy.
Definitely. And speaking of employees, for our listeners, right now we're recording this podcast during the middle of January 2023, which is a time where people might be thinking about a career change and trying something new. So for anyone who's listening and currently in that position of maybe wanting to shift gears a bit, what would you say your recommendations would be for them with getting that process going?
Oh, we just had a workshop about this yesterday. Rima, I'm going to let you jump in.
Yeah, well, can I say reach out to mom up?
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
number one, reach out to mom up.
So, I mean, it's such a time of a reboot and a reflection. I would say start where you're at. We were actually talking this morning about how you kind of have to get in the right headspace. So make sure you're putting yourself first and taking care of yourself, and whether that's a deep breath or a morning run, like let that be at the end of your day and the last thing to get to. And then really dedicating that time, whether it's 10 minutes a day or an hour a day to start, if you're looking for a new career, start reading about other careers. If you need to talk to someone about what the next step is, find a coach, start there. I mean, there's so many different avenues, I don't know, mm-hmm. Michelle, what would you add?
Well, I mean, I think that initial period of reflection is incredibly important to ask yourself, what is it that you're looking for in the next opportunity? I think it's easy to go into panic mode and, hyperdrive and be like, whether or not you've been laid off or you've made the commitment, I need a new job or whatever it is. We tend to, most of us, just kind of jump right in and start looking and start. I think pausing and saying, okay, what is it that I'm not happy with in my current situation, whether you're working or not working? And so, and what is it that I want in my next opportunity, whether it's logistical, like I want to work from home and I want to work 20 hours a week, or if it's, I want to work for a mission-oriented organization. I want to try out working at a startup, or in moving from corporate. Ask yourself those questions, and that way you've actually just made your job search easier because you've filtered it just internally so that when you actually start to take the steps, you have that knowledge and that awareness of what really is important to you. And then, like Reem said, it might take reaching out to a coach for some, maybe if you're having a hard time answering those questions, that might be your next step. It's almost like, I always think of it sort of as like a roadmap. And when you get to this place that's causing you to stall, what are the solutions? And so one might be, seeking out a coach. Another might be, if you're constantly submitting resumes, on different web platforms, on job platforms, and you're not getting any headway, start reaching out to your personal network. And that's probably your most successful, powerful path to take with job seeking, because a lot of times that's where companies are looking is, I know somebody who, my former colleague was in marketing, knows blah, blah, blah. And that actually has a very great response. So it is thinking it's not just a one size fits all, and it's not just a one step. You have to think it as a web. There's so many different areas where you can reach out. There's so many resources out there. MomUp is obviously the best resource, but there are so many others.
Absolutely.
And yeah. So you have to tackle it from different approaches.
I have one other thing to add. When I work with candidates a lot, for some of them, it's been so long since they've thought about themselves, whether they're actively working or returning to work. It doesn't really matter where you are in your career. It's just often they haven't thought about themselves. And so really, instead of shining the light and getting into that panic mode so quickly, because that's usually what happens, almost pretend like you're doing research for a friend, which sounds so corny, but like you set aside 15 minutes, you think you want to go into marketing, start reading some marketing leads, and just don't think you're applying to it. Just think, am I getting excited reading this? Or am I like, is there dread? Or is this, you know, and kind of take the pressure off of having to make that decision. You're just gathering information and seeing how you react, like just breaking it down into small steps. And sometimes figuring out what you don't like is really the best place to start.
I think that's both great advice from what both of you shared. And one thing that I've had conversations with friends who are in this position of wanting to change careers is they find difficulty in the fact that they don't feel like they have enough time to dedicate to looking for new positions and to being able to just sit down and think about what they want because of the full-time job they currently have and having to take time off for interviews and things like that. So do you have any tips that you've shared with candidates who might be in a similar situation where they struggle with just balancing the time with how busy their life is?
Yeah, that is a struggle, especially if you are working full-time. How do you carve out? I think you just mentioned, you know, figure whether it's 5 minutes a day, or maybe you dedicate a couple of hours on a weekend or in an evening, and you think about it as almost like doing a workout or something. You try to fit it into your life. Mm-hmm. And is it, I can dedicate 15 minutes a day, I can carve out time on weekends. And so thinking about it like that, where it becomes incorporated into your schedule of, okay, every Monday, I'm going to go on LinkedIn and reach out to X amount of people in my, you know, field or in, you know, in this industry. And so really being strategic about how you're doing it, I think is the first thing. And then when you get to those interview stages, what I'm finding is that I feel like companies are understanding for the most part, and this is actually a good way to vet a company because you can see their response. If you have a full-time job and it's hard to, you know, find the time, are they also willing to compromise on their end to find time to talk to you? Candidates have a lot of power right now, and companies have to understand that too. They also have their responsibilities. You don't want a candidate that's like willing to, you know, ditch out on their job anytime. It also doesn't reflect well on, you know, maybe their commitment. So, you know, we had somebody recently asked for an interview at 5:30 in the afternoon because, you know, she didn't want to cut out of her current job early. And they were very obliging. I think it's not being afraid to ask for a little bit of a compromise on their end, and companies being willing to understand that, you know, it can't. The Zoom helps because you're right. Not having to, you know, drive downtown or whatever. I think also companies are being better about not shuffling interviewees through 50,000 interviews. I mean, occasionally it does happen, but I think that there needs, you want to get to know the candidate when it comes down to the end. You know, I do think companies need to be mindful about not having them in front of every person in the company. You know, like they don't need 50 interviews. You have to be mindful of that time, especially if there's other people that are still in the running. And if that person doesn't get a job, the candidates are spending a lot of time when they're going through the interview process, and companies have to be really mindful of not taking advantage of that. What do you think?
I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm glad we have these kind of real time examples. I think looking for a job is a full-time job, whether you are unemployed or working. And it kind of circles back to that daunting panic. And so I would echo Michelle's comment on, you have to schedule it. You literally put it in your calendar, but when you're scheduling it, don't make it this epic task that has to be life changing. So, you know, instead of being like, I've got to find 10 jobs to apply to this week, how am I going to do, like, slow it down for yourself, because if you burn out at the beginning, you're not going to be successful anyway. So maybe it is a schedule of, you know, Monday's LinkedIn day, Tuesday's apply day. You know, it can be that pace, or it can be Tuesday night. I have a date with myself and, you know, I look for jobs, I connect with a few on LinkedIn, and I send in a couple. Like, whatever works for you, you have to know your own style. But I think my biggest takeaway is, don't set such high expectations that you're just going to feel like you're failing from the start and feeling like I can't do both at the same time.
I love that.
That's good advice.
This relates to candidates. It's a little bit of a specific question. I'm really curious to hear both of your thoughts on it, but I know specifically in the marketing industry, what some organizations will do with candidates is they'll say, oh, can you complete this project as a trial run for us to see what you would be like if you were to join our team. And it's gotten a lot of pushback from candidates because they have to spend hours preparing something and might not even get the guarantee of a job. And what's to say that the company just doesn't hire them, but takes and run with whatever marketing strategy they developed. So do you have an opinion or stance on something like that, on whether candidates should take place or participate in any type of trial run or test period or project in the interview process?
I can take this one.
Yeah.
I have a strong opinion. we have seen this happen. For certain industries, it has to happen. So it's, you're especially seeing it in areas of like data science, data analytics, because there is so much that goes into it to make sure that that task can be, that task to be hired for can be handled. That being said, and I think you were mentioning with marketing, we've seen that as well. And the only way I would support it is if it's not a real issue at the company, because then it turns in, and this is just my opinion, but it becomes this kind of free labor that that's coming out of their interviewees. Now, one could argue, but it is, say it's, you know, something about a product. One could argue, well, we want to make sure you know the product, or you can, but I think there are millions of ways and millions of opportunities to assess those skills that don't have to be direct correlation with the company. That's how I feel. I don't know really the legality side of everything, but that, you know, I don't like seeing it at that level.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it has to also really be far down the interview process. Like, there should only be one or two candidates in the pipeline at that point for that position, if you're asking them to present a marketing plan. And like Reem said, ethically speaking, it should be, you know, not a current project that they're working on. I do think that, you know, I mean, I know companies have hired people part-time or in a contract way, as a way of sort of trying them out and then transitioning them to full-time. And I think that that also is an option. It works. And sometimes it's mutually beneficial, because then the candidate can also have the freedom to try out the company without there being all of the intricacies of, you know, feeling like you're bound to this place for a long time. So there is something, but that is, you know, as long as it's a paid situation.
Yeah, I think that's a great alternative.
And truthfully, you know, whether you're in marketing, data science, whatnot, you have some, for lack of a better, kind of a catch-all phrase, a portfolio, if you will, that can demonstrate, you know, why you think you're a fit for that job. You're able to bring that in. So I think there is, you know, something to really be mindful about if a company's asking that of you.
Absolutely. And now on the opposite end of people who may be looking to change careers this year, what would you recommend for companies who are looking to hire this year?
In terms of how they're seeking candidates?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think that companies really need to start getting creative with how they're approaching their, you know, candidate pipeline. Mm-hmm. I think historically they're using the same resources. You know, I had mentioned earlier that these like larger web platforms They're hard. They're a needle in a haystack. You're getting, you know, 1,000 applicants for a role, and maybe 10% of them are actually candidate fits. And so it's hard. So I think that they have to be, again, a little more strategic. They have to be a little bit more out of the box. I think it's working. I think that there's a lot of value in working with recruiters. It's, you know, if you are a company that has the resources, it really shortens the timeline of finding candidates. You're having someone vet them. I mean, I will plug my mouth and say that, you know, we're very transparent. We're very authentic. And we're really partnering with our clients as well as the candidates to find these best fits. I think it's really making sure that you keep the humanity in it. You're dealing with people. So making sure that you're treating them like people. Their candidates won't take a job if they're getting a bad vibe during the interview process. I think it's understanding that candidates hold a lot of the cards right now. So really being mindful of what people are looking for. And it's not always what we think it is. It's not, I mean, we know now it's not the ping pong tables and the happy hours. Like we've learned that much. So what else are you offering and what else are people looking for? Is it, what kind of benefits are you offering? What kind of, you know, childcare options? What's the flexibility? Do I have to ask permission to go to a doctor's appointment? Mm-hmm. People really want to know corporate culture. Are you able to explain that corporate culture to them? And are you drawing in the right candidates for that corporate culture? It's not to say that everybody has to have this, like if you're a tech startup, and the expectation is everybody has to work long hours and whatnot, that's fine because some people really love that atmosphere. But you know, what are you doing to draw in those right candidates? Where are you getting your, and if you're saying, I want more diversity, what are you doing to address that pipeline? You know, it's hard to get a diverse panel of candidates if you're going to the same places all the time. And statistically, you're not going to get diverse candidates if you only have one or two candidates out of 20 that fit under the umbrella of diversity. So you have to really think, where are you going? How are you networking? Are you going to the right places? And get creative and bring in the people that, you know, whether it's consultants or DEI experts to help you figure that out. Mm-hmm. You know, so Reem, what would you say?
I would say hiring is hard. It's one of the hardest things. And you're dealing with people and personalities, and a lot has to line up. And I would remind companies that yes, on the candidate side, it has to line up too. So echoing what Michelle said. And I guess two main things, be quick. Anytime something drags out, that's done. On both sides. There is a lot of great energy in the beginning, like aura, if you will, kind of momentum that keeps things going. The minute you start slowing it down and whatnot. And of course, it's the hardest thing for people to get to while they're working is looking at that pile of resumes. But move quickly. And, you know, hire experts. I mean, we do it for so much in our life. The amount you lose by trying to do it on your own and making a bad hire is so much bigger than hiring, you know, like a recruiting expert to do it for you. Honestly, we've seen it. So,
and it is true about the timing. It's so interesting. And I get it because it's an emotional. Hiring is emotional because it's people, and even companies don't want to say it's emotional. The person who's doing the hiring is a human. And we've had companies, it's like, it's so instinctual, I think, when you know the right candidate. And what happens is it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, but I just don't want to bite the bullet. And then they pause and then they return to it. And they're like, is that person still available? And they're no longer available. Like you know that would have been the right person. And I get it. It is a big deal. It's hard. It's expensive. You don't want to make a bad hire. But oftentimes they know early on, and it's, but I still need, you know, I need to see 500 more people before I make that commitment. And the ones who do it faster, there's no difference in success rate. You know, it's because they've already been given these great candidates. So, but it's true. Pace is incredibly important.
Great advice. Now shifting gears a little bit, with two of you working so closely with so many different businesses, you likely have a handful of favorites, but would you say that there are any favorite local businesses that you love to support?
So many. I'll go first. I'm based in Metro West, but I love an artist named Sharif the Artist. You can find him on Instagram. I've been following him forever. He's a teacher, I believe, who is an artist in his life, who has blown up. He just did a mural in JP, I believe, and I just love his work. I love Gifted in the South End. It's the cutest little gift shop in the South End of Boston. And then I have a favorite coffee located in Needham called French Press. So that's kind of my go-to.
I will second the French Press. It's wonderful. It's a great vibe if you're in Needham. And I have two other businesses that I love. One is called Morrissey Market, which is a food delivery, a grocery delivery service. And they're incredible. And the other is For Now. I don't know if you've heard of them, Ashley, because they have,
yeah, I have store,
yeah, on the yeah. South Shore. And they're great. They do a lot with helping small, especially women-owned businesses, not all women, but smaller businesses. It's a retail company. So they have clothes and jewelry. They have great taste curating their collection of businesses that they work with. I'm trying to think, where's their...
Is it Derby Street stores. In Hingham?
Yeah, they have a pop-up store in Derby Street.
Yeah.
And, but they're great. They're great. If you're ever doing Christmas shopping when it's Christmas time again.
Good to know. Michelle and Raimi.
Valentine shopping.
Oh, there Valentine shopping. At time of recording. Or depending on people listening, Mother's Day.
Yes.
Oh, right. That's right. Oh, that'd be great.
They should start shopping now for Mother's Day.
Michelle and Reem, this has been such an awesome episode. You both have shared amazing experience and advice and tips for our listeners to apply to their situations, whether they're companies looking to hire or candidates looking to make a change in their career. And so now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online if they would like to connect with Mom Up further.
Yes, please do. So momup.com, super easy. You can follow us on Instagram, Mom Up Co. Or in Facebook, Mom Up Co. And check us out on LinkedIn. It would be wonderful. Super easy form to fill out to be part of our network. You can download resources. You can check out our workshops. We have a lot of free workshops. So stay tuned. Follow us on social media so you can stay up to date on any events.
Yeah, I think that the piece that we offer, now I can't remember if we mentioned it, pretty much monthly, at least once a month, sometimes twice, free workshops that run an hour midday. They're also recorded. I would say our Instagram feed, I always say when I'm talking to candidates, it's kind of our warm fuzzy of Mom Up. And LinkedIn is got its warm fuzzy, but has more of that business side to it. And then honestly, I'll just throw it out there. If you want to reach me, it's pretty easy. Reem, R-E-E-M at momup.com. Hopefully your listeners can tell we're pretty approachable. And really, want to connect.
Absolutely. And I will link to all of those places in the show notes in case they missed it and would like to connect further. But thank you both so much again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you. This was so fun.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.